And we're live. Episode 5, 2-Point Conversion with Bryce and Daniels. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing great, man. It was a great week so far.
It has been a great week. It's going to get only greater. Of course, we have the Thursday night game tonight. We got a full slate on Sunday. It is the 2-Point Conversion with Bryce and Daniels and footballogy.com. That's where we're at. That's where we always are. It's a study of all things football. Also, you told me something earlier today. I'm quite excited, my man. Into the top 100 on Podomatic?
Yeah, on Podomatic, our podcast was ranked as the 77th most listened to sports podcast on Tuesday, and the 71st yesterday or Wednesday, because this will be out on Friday.
No, I know that sounds egocentric a bit, but it's not. I'm definitely not patting ourselves on the back. I'm glad that so many people are listening. It's so fulfilling, and it's just a great feeling to have when what you're putting out there, because we didn't know how this was going to go.
No,
we didn't.
We
had no idea.
What's really crazy about it is we threw it together in like 45 seconds. Like, you had to fill in on the morning show that I'm a part of, and you and I just kind of discussed it, and kind of offhanded, you know? Yeah, and then a few days later, I started really thinking about it, and I started thinking about how it could go and what would work, and so then I, you know, set up a meeting with you, and we kind of talked it over, and, I mean, we were up here, an hour? And kind of outlined how everything was going to go, and then we showed up and recorded it the next week.
And that was that. And it's just gone from there. So thank you guys for listening. We're on iTunes as well.
Yes, we are on iTunes. You can find us on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook if you go look for the 2-Point Conversion, and that's the number 2, not the word 2.
Mm-hmm.
The number 2, the 2-Point Conversion. We have a Facebook page there where you can keep up with all the activities, everything that's going on with the show. I want to thank Marcus Mosier over at Footballogy.com.
Great guest.
He was an awesome guest. He's hosting us on his site and tweeting out our links and all that stuff. He's a really, really good guy. I do have some really cool news. I have Mark Lane, who's going to be on the show on Monday.
Fantastic.
He is one of the Dallas-Fort Worth sports media guys, so he has a pretty big following, and people know who he is.
Absolutely.
And all that. So that's going to be fantastic. I'm working very hard. I can't guarantee it's going to happen yet, but I'm trying to get one of the guys from bloggingtheboys.com. Which bloggingtheboys.com is a part of the Super Bowl Nation conglomerate of sites. They have a site for every team, and they're real big. Blogging the Boys has been on ESPN. They've been referenced. A lot of those guys have been on ESPN Radio. They've been highlighted on ESPN before. So, I mean, it'd be a real big deal to get them on the show. And if I can get them on the show, then I may be able to use that as a door to get the other guys, and so we can have breakdowns of other teams besides just the Cowboys every week. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I hope you guys enjoy it when we make that happen.
Very much so. Well, we're going to go ahead and dive right in. We got the injury report and body parts for Week 4. In the NFL, we're going to go alphabetical. Arizona Cardinals, Michael Floyd has a concussion. He's questionable. Now, this isn't fantasy relevant. However, it is going to show up in the fantasy kind of realm. The punter for Arizona is going to be out this weekend as well. So that's definitely something to look for.
Right.
If you're not getting 40, 50, 55 yards on those punts, it's definitely going to show up in the field possession game.
I think we should just name this segment the body count.
The body count.
It's I don't know why I just came up with that, but it just entered my head.
I love it. Well, Momo Sanu for the Falcons, he has a shoulder. He's questionable. Julio Jones is questionable as well. Sammy Watkins, of course, he missed last week with a foot. He's questionable. Carolina, Jonathan Stewart going to be out at running back with that hamstring. And looks like they're favoring Cameron Artis Payne once again.
Okay, so over Whitaker?
Yep.
With a little more power, you think?
Whitaker was definitely one of the ones that I went through and kind of mass dropped from all my year-long teams this week. And I tried to pick up Jordan Howard. It didn't really go 100%, but I got him in a couple of spots.
Yeah.
Chicago Cutler going to be questionable with that thumb. And Jeremy Langford, he's out with the ankle. So is Kadeem Carey out with the ankle or the hamstring. So that's why Jordan Howard's going to be a thing here in recent weeks. Alshon Jeffery is probable. In Cincinnati, Tyler Eifert still out over at tight end. Isaiah Crowell is probable. He's got a knee. Dallas, Dez Bryant. That was interesting.
The whole Dez Bryant saga has been crazy all week long. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but apparently Garrett got the Cowboys head coach, Jason Garrett, he got the news about Dez, the MRI back. He got the information back on Wednesday, literally minutes before he went on the phone with a conference call with the San Francisco media, and he told the San Francisco Francisco media before telling kinda, the Dallas media, and the Dallas media is all up in arms and upset about it. And I just want to point out, he is under no obligation whatsoever to share any information with them, especially not in any order. So
I'll tell you who's not in any obligation to share any information with anybody, but he did. Oh, Julian Edelman. That's hilarious. Yeah, I love that story.
That guy's crazy.
I love that story. Yeah. Rex Ryan poses as the Buffalo reporter and try to call. Hey, you know, I know y'all got quarterback problems. I've heard you're going to be starting. Can you tell me anything about it? you don't recognize Ryan's voice? I'm just saying. But that's great for a little storyline stuff. But yeah, something to keep an eye on. Dez Bryant, he is, I think he's going to be out. He's doubtful right now, but he's with that fibula.
My gut instinct is that he plays.
You think he plays?
Yeah, I mean, he might not. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just my gut instinct that guy, he's just... Like, the reason why he was missing practice and missing going to the MRI and all that stuff was specifically because he was worried about what the news that he might get, because he wants to play. And I think that if there's any chance that he can play, if the doctors say, give him a, you know, it's your choice or any, I think he's going to play. So my guess is Dez plays, but I could also see them holding off one more week since it's the 49ers and they got Cincinnati, Green Bay, Philly, back-to-back-to-back after that.
So. I actually like Cole Beasley a lot this week, even more so if Dez Bryant. Imagine that, me liking Cole Beasley. I mean, more so if... Dez doesn't play, but we'll definitely keep an eye on that. Virgil Green in Denver, he's got a calf. He's doubtful, that tight end. Another tight end in Detroit, Eric Ebron. He's got an ankle. Houston, oh, man. J.J. Watt, he is out, obviously. Injured reserve, out for the year with the Mac. And
he's so polarizing, but I love him.
Yeah.
I love him.
It's going to be tough for Houston to move forward without J.J. Brian Cushing looks like he's going to be out as well over at linebacker. T.Y. Hilton, he's probable for Indianapolis. Jacksonville, Julius Thomas is questionable with an elbow. Chris Ivory, he is questionable slash probable. He's got that general medical issue. Kansas City, Jamal, a doubt. Is he ever going to play?
I don't know, man. He's an older running back now at this point, isn't he?
He's got up there in years.
You might just see that where they just, you know, kind of fades off into the sunset. You see that sometimes.
Yep, he's definitely one I picked up in the mid rounds, and I liked where I was when I got him. But now
you're starting to doubt that.
I mean, we'll speaking of doubtful, he certainly is that. We'll just kind of see how that goes. Our other running back, Charkey West, Charkandrick. I like Charkey. I'm just gonna call him Charkey.
You got Jamal and Charkey.
Jamal and Charkey, both doubtful. Charkey's got an ankle, and it looks like it's gonna be the Spencer Ware show again, for better or worse, on Sunday night.
LA, you mean Spencer Ware?
I'm sorry. I do apologize. Tavon Austin, your boy. He's probable with the show.
Yeah, my boy. I like him as much as you like Golden Tate.
Oh, fantastic. Love that reference. Miami, they play tonight. Arian Foster, he's out. He's got a groin. Just saying that sentence makes me giggle. Jarvis Landry, he's probable with the shoulder. They need him. Jordan
That's what
Cameron,
you get with this show, folks.
Jordan Cameron is out with
immaturity.
He's got a concussion. And Devontae Parker is probable. He's got a hamstring. New England. Oh, it looks like Edelman's going
to
play.
Hold on. Let's get back to this. Okay. This show is basically moderately organized immaturity.
A little bit.
That's what this show is. Like kind of it organized
delves,
immaturity.
It delves into there. Yeah. You can go on now. At times. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo, he's doubtful. He's got a shoulder. Jacoby Brissett, he's questionable now after being moved from doubtful before he was out. He's got a thumb, but he's saying he's going to play.
No, I don't want him to play.
I don't want him to play either.
I want Julian Edelman to play.
Edelman behind center real bad. I want to see how that goes. God. I'll tell you why I want Edelman behind center, because I want to play LeGarrette Blount at like 5,000, and he's going to get 40 carries because I know Bill Belichick.
Right.
But Brissett is questionable. He says he's a go. We'll see how that plays out. Rob Gronkowski's questionable with a hamstring. In New Orleans, Willie Snead, a late scratch on that Monday night game. He's questionable with a toe.
Really?
They're going to need him.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, obviously.
He's one of those guys that you're just like, how does he get open? There's nothing.
All the time.
There's nothing special about the guy. Yeah.
Maybe his hair?
At least with a guy like Cole Beasley, he's so quick. Mm-hmm. But Willie Snead doesn't even have those quicks. He just gets open.
Willie Snead's like a 6.5 or 7 max in every category, just across the board.
Absolute max. He's like a 4.5 or 5 on most categories.
So it's going to be interesting to see if, Michael Thomas, see if that your boy from Ohio
He's
State.
From Ohio State. I was not a big fan of him at Ohio State, so he could break out.
He likes the deep ball.
He does. He does. That's the only thing he does.
Monday night, New York Giants, Shane Vereen on that injured reserve with the triceps. Oh, man, that's got to be just a brutal injury.
Yes.
Rashad Jennings questionable with a thumb, so it looks like Darkwa's probably...
Orleans Darkwa, you're going to get some carries.
Time. New York Jets, Eric Decker is a doubt now with a shoulder.
I saw that earlier today.
And Jalen Marshall is out with a torn labrum, so if Decker doesn't play, how bad are the Jets going to be against against Seattle? Seattle, a 2.5 favorite.
And they got no weapons?
Nothing.
Well, no, they got... who's the tight end over there?
We could play the Jeopardy theme song because I'm not coming up with it.
Yeah, I don't even know. Okay, so it's Brandon Marshall.
It's Brandon Marshall and Matt Forte and 19 interception Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah. Eli Rogers in Pittsburgh, he's a big doubt with a toe. San Diego's Antonio Gates, a big doubt as well. He's got a hamstring. Mante Teo in the linebacker, he is on the injured reserve for San Diego. So they now have three fairly big names, San Diego does, on the injured reserve.
Yeah, there's a team that's just absolutely snake bitten.
If they lose one more key player, they might just throw in the white towel for the year. They might just
fold the team up.
Yeah,
just call it good and sell everything and okay.
Why not?
Dean Spanos, he's a classy guy.
Tight end Vance McDonald for San Francisco. He's a doubt with a hip. In Seattle, Russell Wilson's questionable, but it looks like he might play. You kind of called that on Monday. He's got that MCL sprain. Yeah, I was looking forward to Trayvon Boykin.
That guy's going
to
play.
Yep, it looks like he is. Thomas Rawls is out with that ankle.
Darn.
Yep. Kristen Michael back in play. CJ Pro.
Stop. Stop.
No.
Stop. Get out of here with the Kristen Michael stuff.
You think I want him? You think I want to talk about him? He made it. He tore it up last week for on the
he tore
very
up San Francisco.
Deep. Well, he's got a. I mean, he's got the Jets this week.
I mean, well, okay, the Jets pretty bad right
Kristen
now.
Kristen, you're telling me he's not going to run for 100 yards with a banged up Russell Wilson? Kristen Michael is a fantasy option this week, and there's nothing you're going to tell me to make me think otherwise, especially after what I saw last
week. Right,
I don't like it. Don't get me wrong, but
no, you're in love with Kristen Michael. It's fine.
CJ,
put him on all your teams.
Is a doubt. He's got a hand. Well, at this point, Dougie Martin, running back, Tampa Bay. He's out with a hamstring. Tennessee's J.J. Sharp is probable with a hamstring, and Delanie Walker questionable. I'm leaning on a doubt there as well because he, of course, he missed last game. He was a late scratch. And finally, Washington got a couple of receiver problems. DeSean Jackson's got an ankle. He's probable.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Josh Dotson's got an Achilles. He is out/doubtful. We'll see how that plays out. A couple of defensive issues as well. Of course, Hall and Breland. Breland out with an ankle. Hall on the injured reserve.
Breland wasn't covering anybody anyway, so what does it matter? I mean, I can't imagine there's a big drop-off between Rashad Breland and the next corner on that team.
Do you give a little bit of a bump to Terrell Pryor from Hall and Breland being out? A little bit?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
maybe.
Cleveland's a 7.5-point dog in that game as well, by the way. Very very interesting. So those are your that's the body count.
That's the body count.
That's the body count. I like it. Let's get to the games. 1-2, the Bills at 3-0. Pats are probably the best team in the NFL right now, and Tom Brady hasn't played a down. He is still suspended.
There's no
line. There's no total. There's no information. The only information is Rex Ryan called Julian Edelman and asked, hey, man, are you going to be playing quarterback? So,
and there, we don't know a whole lot about it other than it's going to be a game. It's going to happen. It's at 12 o'clock on Sunday. Who do you like in that?
What, are you kidding me?
Well, player-wise. Of course New England's going to roll.
Oh.
Of course New England's going to win.
What are you asking me, dude? I think you're right on LeGarrette Blunt. He's got a... There's going to be a lot of carries involved.
Yes.
Because it doesn't matter if Jacoby Brissett or Julian Edelman plays quarterback.
There was a game or a couple of games. I think one was against the Chiefs. It was about 3 or 4 years ago with the quarterback situation. Again, I don't know if it was a Brady suspension or injuries or what have you. Maybe it was late in the year. I can't remember the specifics. However, Bill Belichick had a man named Jonas Gray that no one had ever heard of.
Yes.
And he ran the ball 172 times literally ran the ball 35 times for, I think, 240 yards.
Yeah. No, I have no question whatsoever. Belichick, this is why he's the best coach in the NFL. And anybody who doesn't think Belichick's the best coach in the NFL needs to wake up. Put on some tape and watch what they do. They are the only team in the NFL that dramatically changes what they do from week to week to week based on what their opponent does. And I guarantee you Bill Belichick's going to go sit down and he's going to go look at every run play that... Who are they playing?
Buffalo.
Every run play that Buffalo has defensed this week. And he's going to say, okay... This is the type of run or the types of runs that are successful against them, and then he's going to drill that into his guys, and come Sunday, they're going to run at 6 yards a carry or whatever. It's ridiculous what he does. He's an incredible football coach. Kind of a cheater. kind of a D-bag.
It's what it is.
Incredible football coach.
Incredible football coach. You can say what you will about the man. That man is a winner as far as the game of football goes. So, like I said, LeGarrette Blount, 5,000 on DraftKings. He's going to be in a lot of my lineups.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see the percentages. I think he's probably going to be.
I mean, with your look at running backs this
no
week.
No kidding. I mean, just absolutely heartbroken. We had Marvin Jones Jr. explode onto the scene with a 41.5. We had Jarvis Land. We had my boy Jordy Nelson. I mean, just 30s and 40s and 30s. And then a 6! Not to be outdone by a 4.
Yeah.
Just. D'Angelo Williams.
And I feel sorry for LeGarrette Blount this week
because
you're supporting
him.
I've
given him the Daniels
kiss of death.
Curse.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Any love for LeSean McCoy? Is he going to be able to get things done on the other opposite side of the football? He had a pretty good day the other day.
He did have a really good day. I was really impressed watching him. And going back and watching a little film, I was even more impressed. I mean, he had the like a 20-something yard touchdown run, 27 or something. Nobody touched him. It was perfectly blocked. That wasn't too great. But a lot of his other runs were really impressive. He was getting kind of what they call dirty runs. I need to see Tyrod Taylor perform well against New England a few times before I'm going to really be able to support anything offensively from Buffalo against New England.
Yeah, and I kind of on the same. I would like to like LeSean McCoy at 6,700. I'd like to like Robert Woods with Watkins injury questions at 3,400. But, again, with Vegas not having a total, not having a spread, this thing seems like it's 17, 20, 24-point beat down from New England. I think New England gets into it and into it early against Buffalo this weekend. Carolina -3 at the 2-1 Atlanta Falcons. Carolina needs a win at 1-2. Total is 50. That's a big total. It's the second biggest on the Millionaire Maker slate over on DraftKings. $20 could win you $1 million. And like I said, it's a big total. We like to target games that have big totals. This game actually has two of my beasts of the week in it. And that's, I mean, you could pretty much guess them.
Carolina and Atlanta, Kelvin Benjamin and Julio Jones. No, Tevin Coleman.
No. I think Cam Newton's the best quarterback this week, and I don't think it's close. I think Cam Newton is the best quarterback, and I think Greg Olsen is your best tight end.
Yeah, Cam Newton for me, and this is part of me not being a really, really hardcore fantasy player. I'm more on game film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my side where I look at things, but. Yeah, he's played two of the best defenses in the NFL, probably the two best defenses in the NFL with Denver and Minnesota already and lost those games. But I when I watch film, I don't think he's right.
You think he's still hurt?
I don't know. I meant mentally right, not physically. He missed some stuff. He missed some stuff that I don't think he was missing last year. And I don't know why that is. It may just be the way that they're coaching or whatever. It may, you know, he also has a tendency whenever things aren't going right for him early, he kind of struggles the rest of the game. So if Minnesota was able to take away a few things he was trying to do, that might have affected him a little later on. For me, like, I understand from your perspective, because if you can get Cam Newton relatively cheap because he struggled a little bit.
Oh, he's not cheap. He's the most expensive quarterback on the board.
Oh, is he?
Yep, $7,800.
Well, I'll also say that those folks at DraftKings know more than I do. So if he's the most expensive, he might.
Those algorithms are rough. The only one close to him, I guess, is Drew Brees at $7,600. Here's my thought process behind this. They're 1-2. Carolina knows they need a win to stay relevant. They cannot fall to 1-3. They've got a winnable game against Atlanta, who, yes, they just beat New Orleans, but New Orleans hasn't won a game. Atlanta has struggled defending the pass. They've struggled defending the run.
Yes.
And I just think this is a spot where Cam Newton, and not only that, but they've struggled mightily defending the tight end. Kobe Fleener went for 110, I believe, at a touchdown over on Monday night against Atlanta. I think this is a spot where Cam Newton can exploit that. You throw in 20, 30, maybe 40 yards at a touchdown on the ground. Yes, that's a bit on the high end. That might be his ceiling, or not his ceiling, but kind of close to it. I think Cam Newton's a legitimate 30, 34 point quarterback potentially this week.
Right. Okay.
And I don't have any problem spending up at 7,800, especially the way that some of these prices have come out in other positions. Greg Olsen just comes down to I'm not paying for Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed's the most expensive tight end on the board.
Right.
Outside of Rob Gronkowski, who get out of here, but I'm not paying up for Jordan Reed. Greg Olsen lands at 6,000. I think he's going to be probably goes for. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Two touchdowns and 80 plus yards.
Okay.
So I do really like Carolina. I think this is a good bounce back spot for them. Over on the opposite side, I mean Tevin Coleman, 4,500, just keeps running, just keeps catching passes.
I've been on him all season.
Yep.
I've been on him all season.
He was one of the ones that we've talked about. We talked about him in week one.
Yep.
got 3 touchdowns on the ground the other day on only 12 carries. They are using Devontae Freeman a little more, though.
They are, but Coleman seems to be the one that's getting the pop. He's the one that, you know, for whatever reason, it's blocked better when he's in there or whatever. He's the one that seems to be getting it in, and he's also the bigger threat out of the backfield, although both him and Freeman are both pretty good out of the backfield.
Yeah, Freeman actually went for 152 on 14 carries against New Orleans. Of course, that game was pretty much out of hand by the fourth quarter. Five receptions on 5 targets. So, you know, either one of those, Freeman or Coleman. Freeman's questionable at this point, but he's probably going to play. But either one of those I don't really have a problem with. Outside of that, you can't interest me. I'm almost Sanu, and Julio Jones just hasn't done enough yet. Next up, Cleveland at Washington. Cleveland needs a win. They are 0-3. Cleveland needs a couple of wins. Washington's an 8-point favorite in this game, basically. 7.5. The over-under is 46. And can Cody Kessler put it together against Washington? That's kind of the question.
I mean, he surprised a lot of people last week. I watched a little film on that game. It was a little hard to watch because neither one of the teams was really playing all
that
well. Pryor is an interesting study for me. Kessler was an interesting study. I haven't seen enough to really have confidence in either Pryor or Kessler.
Well, that brings me to my next question. From a fantasy perspective, and this is my day, kind of. I take the reins on Thursday, so it's going to be a lot of fantasy talk.
Right.
Is Pryor a legitimate option over on DraftKings at 4,300 this week? Is he legitimate or is he fool's gold?
I think on Pryor right now. This is right now. I could see him developing more because if I compare him to what I saw a few years ago, it's worlds of difference. Okay, it's night and day.
Yeah.
But he still has some things he needs to improve on. He is a big time boomer bust player to me. You put him in there and you're hoping. He might catch 3 balls for 40 yards and that's all you get. But he might, you know, go off like he did against against Miami. It's not a negative that he plays a little quarterback sometimes, so he might throw a touchdown.
He might run one in. Yeah.
So you get added value there, but as a pure receiver, he's got some things he needs to work on, and especially if he has, you know, the type of game he had last week, now you're looking at more coverage, people looking at you a little more.
That's what I mean.
You have to learn how to split the double teams and all of that. But like you said, Rashad Breeland and D'Angelo Hall both out. If they keep him away from Josh Norman, he could have a big game.
Can they keep him away from Josh Norman? I guess that's the question. So, okay, if you look at who's around him over on DraftKings, Tyrell Williams, 4,400. Terrell Pryor, 4,300. Jameson Crowder, 4,200. And then you got Cole Beasley at 39, who we'll talk about a little later. Out of those three, who do you target the most? Out of Williams, Pryor, and Crowder? Because I have a feeling most of the game's going to be on Terrell Pryor this weekend.
Crowder, because of DeSean Jackson being out. Crowder is basically another DeSean Jackson in a lot of ways. I mean, they're not exactly the same player, but they're very similar. I think he's going to get a lot of the same routes, a lot of the same usage that DeSean Jackson would get. I like Tyrell Williams a little bit only because his quarterback is better than Terrell Pryor's quarterback.
There's no way that you're selling me on Cody Kessler.
But with Josh Gordon going back into rehab.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, Josh Gordon. I guess we need to report that Josh Gordon has came out today. He's going to go ahead and go back into rehab.
Josh Gordon's got a mind. He's going.
Yeah. He's out. So there's not really much other options in Cleveland, receiving options, and then the added value, like we said, of getting to play a little quarterback. So that would be really tough.
So doesn't it make sense if you're Washington to just slap Josh Norman on him? And
it does, except for that Josh Norman doesn't cover out of the slot.
Yeah.
So if they put him in the slot or bunch formations, which is what both Dallas and New York did a lot of that.
Yeah.
So you can hide from Josh Norman where there are some other cornerbacks.
That's
can't,
true,
you can't
and,
hide
and that's
from.
Definitely noticeable throughout the years. Washington wins that game.
I mean, you would think so.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah, last week we had Cleveland, you know, getting, you know, killed and buried by Miami and took overtime. So you would think so, but Kirk Cousins isn't playing very well right now with injuries to, you know, your starting corner and your starting free safety. You know, I could see an upset. I could see a surprise.
I could as well. I'll tell you one quick note, and then we move on. I could see why Jameson Crowder makes a strong play. Not only do you differentiate yourself from Terrell Pryor, but then you go over to the team that's favored by 8 points. They don't have a running back in this moment. Matt Jones doesn't look great, and that's probably giving him a little too much credit. So Cousins, he's going to have to throw the ball. Cousins is going to have to throw the ball for Washington to score. Jameson Crowder probably going to have a big day.
As a person who's been a Pierre Garçon fan from way back.
Yeah, as am I.
I've studied him a lot. He's lost a step. He's not as fast as he once was. He's not as explosive. So he's still on the field, but they're taking him away with a corner, and a lot of times it's the number two or number three corner. He's not what he used to be.
Yeah. You got to think that once Dotson gets back and going, that he might be eventually faded out of that offense as well.
I think so. Unless he gets on some all 22 film himself and studies Anquan Boldin, because Anquan Boldin has never been as fast or as explosive as Pierre Garçon is right now. Mm-hmm. So he needs to kind of relearn the receiver position a little bit, and he can do it. He's one of the smarter receivers in the NFL, but right now it's not working for him.
All right, moving on to Detroit at Chicago. Lions are a 2.5 favorite. They are 1-2 headed into this game, and Chicago might very well be the worst team in the NFL. They are 0-3. The total on it is 47.5. Marvin Jones, I'm going to score 41 points, and doesn't really matter because I had bad running backs, but Marvin Jones exploded last week.
Yes, he did.
A lot of people are going to have him. He is up to 7,300 over on DraftKings.
I knew that price was going to start creeping up.
I knew it was going to creep, and it just I don't even think that they took last week's output into effect on that algorithm, too. So I think he's probably going to be around 7,800, 7,900
right,
next week. Is 7,300 too much to pay for Marvin Jones?
Not against Chicago.
I don't think so either.
Not against Chicago.
I say fire him up. They're not throwing the ball to Golden Tate.
No.
Anquan Boldin's getting a little bit of
a little usage, Chicago. And Ebron's getting a little usage, but
Chicago can't cover anybody. Marvin Jones Jr. is going to be all over the place.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I have no respect for the Chicago Bears whatsoever. That's a team that's quit.
Yeah.
They've quit 3 weeks into the season because they quit against Philadelphia. And I saw you could literally see the moment when they quit. I feel awful for Chicago Bears fans right now because your team has decided, we can't do it. And so they've quit.
I'll tell you what's interesting, though, the line, 2.5 for Detroit on the road. I know that road teams are, there's a little bit of a bump for home field advantage for Chicago. So you're saying that if this game was at Detroit, there'd be probably about a 5 or 6. I just don't see any way Chicago can stay in this game.
Division game. You never know what
That's
happens
true.
In a division game.
That's true.
Chicago's getting a few of their defensive players back, right? I guess you probably don't have that down. I think that they're getting a little bit of help coming back and just trickling, and not the whole platoon, but I think they're getting a little bit of help back. Detroit's been kind of up and down this season. Against Tennessee, they look pretty bad.
Yeah.
I could see Chicago staying in it. I don't really predict that, but I could absolutely see it, yeah.
You like Jordan Howard at all at 3,700, or you think he gets phased out due to game flow?
Okay. Well,
I'm a big Jordan Howard fan.
Okay, I like Jordan Howard, the running back, absolutely. What you have to keep in mind, last week, he looked good on the two long runs.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That was the entire Chicago Bears running. That was it. The rest of the game, if you took out the two long runs, it was like combined they had like 17 carries for 8 yards or something like that. It was really bad.
Yeah.
Other than there was a couple of times where Sean Lee got hooked and a couple of the guys got double teamed and weren't able to split the double team, and Jordan Howard was able to bust off a couple long runs. But that's it. That's all they had. So
I'm on the fence.
I think Detroit's better run defense than Dallas, so
Chicago's probably going to be throwing the football as well. A little love for Zach Miller. It's 2,700. It looked like Hoyer liked to throw the ball to him. But moving on, and I think Detroit.
Yes, Zach Miller. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that guy. I've always liked that guy, and every once in a while he finds himself in a position with a quarterback who understands how to throw him the ball.
He's an escape
valve. He's not a specific type of tight end. He's a guy that. He has to work a little bit to get open. He's not the big athletic guy, but he definitely gets open. He's kind of Witten-ish in that way. As long as Hoyer's a quarterback, I think Zach Miller's an option.
He's kind of a Kyle Rudolph with motivation and ambition. another noon game. Moving on to Oakland at Baltimore. We're going to skip over this because I really don't see anything that I like. Baltimore's a 3.5-point favorite. If I'm going after anybody in this game, Bryce, it's going to be Steve Smith at 4,500. That's just a hunch that I have. I think Steve Smith might put together a pretty solid game against Oakland. Maybe you take a flyer on Amari Cooper. I just can't. I'm not going to say two. It's a 46 total. I don't want anybody in this game, and I don't really want to watch it, to be 100% honest.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be enthralling.
No. Latavius Murray looks like he's getting a little bit phased out of that offense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure what the deal with that is. Maybe an injury, maybe in the doghouse. Derek Carr's been good as a football quarterback or an NFL quarterback. He hasn't been a good fantasy quarterback yet this season, so I don't see any reason for that. And Amari Cooper, because his quarterback is more of a game manager mm-hmm. right now, he's not, you know, he could have a good game, but it's not likely.
I think you're going to see probably, it's probably going to be a hard-fought contest. Baltimore's a 3.5-point favorite. They are 3-0. Oakland 2-1. So you're looking at a 5-1 respective record between the two of them. The over-under is 46. If I had to guess, I'd probably lean under on that. But like I said, not a whole lot to like in that game. And with that, I'm going to move on to Seattle at New York. Seattle's a 2.5-point favorite at the Jets. That's a 41-point total. It's one of the lowest, if not the lowest. It is the lowest. Second lowest on the board as far as the millionaire maker, and the Jets look just pitiful. The Jets looked bad last week.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Now they're going to be taking on a real defense in Seattle who hasn't really flexed their muscles. I have a feeling you're going to hear from Richard Sherman once, if not twice, in this game.
Oh, I just got a feeling on Richard Sherman, huh? Is it just because Ryan Fitzpatrick was giving away interceptions like Skittles
he
last
was
week?
Giving it like Skittles.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, wait, Marshawn Lynch, sorry. But
yeah.
Still.
Well, yeah. Okay, I wasn't trying to make a reference there, but...
I'll allow it. Yeah. Fitzpatrick looked abhorrent, really, and...
Fitzpatrick was like Oprah Winfrey. You get an interception!
Absolutely.
Everybody gets an interception.
One thing to keep an eye on, other than Christian Michael at 6,000 over on DraftKings, is the status of Russell Wilson, because if he doesn't start, I'm telling you, if he doesn't play, I'm going to have me some Trayvon Boykin at 5,000. I like Doug Baldwin as well at 6,100. I think Seattle kind of rolls in this one.
Well, I mean, that's what the conventional wisdom would say, yeah, just based on mm-hmm. recent play.
Which means the Jets are going to win.
But you also
10.
Have to keep in mind that Seattle scored 3 points against the
that's
Rams
true.
2 weeks ago. So that's, you know, okay. I can see Seattle winning it for sure. I think it's more likely. But, I can see a scenario where, I was about to praise Fitzpatrick and say that he might do something, but I'm not going to do that because last time it was really bad, so... I'm done.
Moving on to the 1-2 Tennessee Titans. They look like they're struggling a little bit. 2-1 Houston. So it's Houston against old Houston. Houston, current Houston, Texans, 4.5-point favorites at home with a 40.5 total. That is the lowest on tap. The Texans trying to get back on track after that abysmal loss to New England last week over on Thursday Night Football. And I think they get it done. They're 4.5-point
favorite.
Give me
Tennessee on that game.
You like Tennessee?
Yeah. I think Houston's a bad football team. I think they're a flawed football team.
I think Tennessee's a bad football team.
I do too, but...
The total looks like they're both bad football teams.
Okay, well, no, there's no question.
40.5. Marcus Mariota
okay,
had a lot
I think
of
Tennessee is the better of the bad football teams.
DeMarco Murray's a good running back.
Yep.
He likes to run the football.
That might be why I like Tennessee, because I have that soft spot in my heart for DeMarco Murray, and I always will. So
that's probably it. I'm not a fan of Marcus Mariota in this matchup at all, even though he is pretty low at 5,500. There's no way in hell you're putting me on D-Hops. My boy DeAndre Hopkins, love him. I'm not paying 8,400 for him.
I mean, why not? Brock Osweiler will throw 14 deep balls at him and throw 6 interceptions just to get the one touchdown. So
well, that's just not going to do
man,
it.
Man, I'm just throwing hate at Brock
you
Osweiler.
Are. You're throwing some shade at Osweiler. We got players that we don't like.
Yeah.
That's just
yeah.
how it is.
Yeah, it
you
is.
Know? Will Fuller's not one, though. I like Will Fuller. I like him in this matchup as well, 5,300.
Yep.
I think he's an affordable option. Ryan Griffin, he caught 10 passes last week, or he was targeted 10 times. He's about as min value as you can get.
Yeah, I mean.
Probably for a reason.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd need to see a little more of that before I risk my money on that.
Yeah, I don't like the line, but I do think Houston wins this game. But 40.5, just stay away as far as fantasy purposes go.
Titans
just,
all the way on that one.
You like the Titans. Into the afternoon, 3-0, Trevor Siemian. Your boy, Peyton Manning incarnate.
Yeah.
That's Peyton
yeah,
Manning,
yeah.
really.
He's exactly. Oh, is that what it is?
That's what it is. Peyton Manning snuck in the locker room. He got his jersey. It's just that. That's
okay.
Denver -3 at Tampa.
No, I know that's true.
44.5.
You know, I know that's not true.
Because he's on every other commercial on Sunday afternoon?
No, because Trevor Siemian threw the ball more than 40 yards last
yeah,
couple
that's
of
true.
Times.
That's true. That's
oh, I know
man,
that's
you
not.
Want to talk about shade.
Oh. No, I'm one of the biggest Peyton Manning fans you'll ever meet. I love Peyton Manning. I think he's the best quarterback I've ever watched play football. But let's be honest, he couldn't throw the ball last
year.
He
couldn't throw the
ball. He couldn't throw it.
he couldn't throw it. And that's probably why he's not in the league anymore. Denver's offense looks great last week, excluding C.J. Anderson.
Yeah, no question about it. I think they tried to game plan. Cincinnati did try to game plan to take away C.J. Anderson. Say, Trevor Siemian, you're going to beat us. You are going to have to do it. And he did.
And he threw
four touchdown passes.
Oh, he did.
And him and Emmanuel Sanders looked like they had that kind of simpatico, this is my guy thing. Like the long one to D.T. was just...
That's an outlier. Yeah.
I think that's a little bit more of an outlier when you just look at what actually happened. But you look at the routes and the throws between Sanders and Siemian. I think they got a little thing going on there. I'm a big fan of what they're doing right now.
And we talked a little bit about before the show. I threw Emmanuel Sanders in all my dummy lineups for the Thursday Sunday slate at 6,400. Do you like Emmanuel? I mean, is that going to continue? Do you think it does look like that Trevor Siemian kind of favors Emmanuel Sanders?
Yes, I think it's more likely that you're going to get fantasy points out of Sanders in a given week than Thomas right now, because they do seem to have a little something going on between the two of them, and that happens a lot. You know, Dak Prescott and Cole Beasley have that going on. Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers have had that going on. There was no help in that. We don't have sneeze buttons in the studio.
Sneeze buttons look like a drunk before he's about to throw up.
Yeah.
Like he was like,
can't do it. But yeah, there's a bunch of quarterback receivers that have that kind of little thing going on, and I think those two do.
You might. I don't know. You can call me crazy. You can say what you will. I'm sure that you will. All right, so the game's got a total of 44.5. Denver's a 3-point favorite on the road. Tampa Bay's 1-2. They need a win. Jameis Winston threw the ball 52 times. If I'm thinking contrarian stack this week, Bryce, I love Tampa Bay.
The listener cannot hear me. He's just vigorously shaking my head no at you.
Yeah, vigorously shaking his head.
No, I mean, it could happen, but I wouldn't put anything on it because Jameis Winston, he's got a lot to learn, and that Tampa Bay team is one that doesn't seem to know how to win football games.
And that's true, and they're probably not going to win this one. They don't – look, Jameis Winston, 5,400. Mike Evans, 6,500. That's a min-price wide receiver. He's cheaper than Marvin Jones Jr., and he's going to see 15 targets. He has the last three weeks. And then you throw in my boy, love Adam Humphries. He's going to score a touchdown this week. He's min value at 3,000. I can't get on Cameron Brate at 2,800. I mean, I can, but not with that entire – I don't want to play all the Buccaneers. But I like a Tampa Bay stack this weekend.
I do not like the idea of – a receiver who's going to get 15 targets when he's going against Aqib Talib. And then Cameron Brate being their slot receiver going against Chris Harris Jr., who's the best slot corner in the NFL. Denver is getting into that I don't start receivers against Denver category. Like that's my personal thing.
But shut down AJ Green.
But Mike Evans. He's a different kind of receiver. I could see him being able to out-muscle Aqib Talib a little bit on some passes. And right now, Jameis Winston, he's entering into Brock Osweiler, I'll just throw it up territory. Mike Evans has a good chance of bringing any of those down. And he's healthy right now. He wasn't healthy last year, and you can tell he's clearly healthy right now. So, yeah, maybe.
Look, Winston's probably going to throw two or three picks, but if he makes up for it with three, four touchdowns on – I mean, he's going to throw the ball 55 times.
Four touchdowns? Who do you think he is? Trevor Siemian?
Three, four touchdowns. Okay, moving on to your Cowboys, looking to go 3-1 at San Francisco. Dallas is a 2.5 favorite. The over-under is 46. And I love Cole Beasley. I don't think Dez is – obviously he's not 100% healthy. Now, if you look at how San Francisco has gotten gashed in the past, the game flow sets up for Zeke.
Yes. I've been watching film because, I mean, that's what
of
I do.
Course.
I've been watching San Francisco film, and their run defense is bad.
Yeah, it is.
Their linebacker, it's weird. It's a weird dichotomy because their linebackers are really good, but their run defense is really bad, and they're getting gashed. I think it's a lot of the defensive line, and they're not really getting help elsewhere. But
what that says to me is that he's going to get past the first level a lot, and probably going to get stuck on that second level. But if you get 6-7 yards of carry,
right,
those are going to add up fast.
Right. Well, you know, it's as good as their linebacking core is, Dallas's offensive line is just as good. So, you know, especially Zach Martin and if Tyron Smith plays, both those guys excel at getting to the second level and getting fits on linebackers. So I could see them wiping out some linebackers and getting Zeke Gashin getting some big runs. I think Cole Beasley has a big game, whether Dez plays or doesn't play.
Yeah.
The San Francisco runs a lot of single high, just cover one man across with a single high. They do that a lot, and I think you're going to see Eric Reed on Jason Witten a pretty good amount of time.
Pretty much gotten phased out in that offense so far. He had 2 catches last week.
Here's what I have a little theory on that, mm-hmm. because for years it was Witten and everybody knew it. And teams were not necessarily doubling Witten, but they were shading to him. You mm-hmm. could tell they were giving him a little extra attention. And when they took Witten away, there was no one else on the team, even when Dez Bryant's healthy, that you can guarantee is going to be open on a route. Because Dez, especially early in his career, was not a very good route runner.
No.
And even now, he's covered a lot. He doesn't have the explosion to just be open all the time. And so you saw a situation where if Witten wasn't open early, Romo struggled finding other receivers, and he held the ball a little long and all that stuff. Well, now Cole Beasley's open. If the read is Witten first and they're doubling him, you can just go to Cole Beasley. He's going to be open every time. So I think that's what's happening is now it's not Romo waiting for Witten to work open. It's just that going, okay, well, Witten's covered. I'm throwing it over to Beasley. So I don't know about phased out, but by the way that the coverage is going, they're just going elsewhere. But this time, I think they're going to try to cover Witten single him up with Eric Reed, and I think that's a really good matchup. I'm curious who's going to win that between the two of them.
Okay, so if Dez doesn't play, can I interest you in Terrence Williams at all? 3,100.
Yeah.
Almost min-priced.
Listen, from an last week, if he hadn't fumbled, you'd be going, man, Terrence Williams had a great game.
Yeah.
You would have if he hadn't fumbled.
Four catches, 88 yards.
I'm not a big fan. I hate body catchers more than I'm a receiver. That's what I did when I coached. That's what I coach. I love wide receivers. The guy's a body catcher. I hate that, but he still gets open a pretty good amount of time, and he's the only guy on that Dallas defense the only receiver on the Dallas offense that's truly an explosive player as far as the routes. I mean, obviously, Dez is explosive in his ability to jump up and get the ball and all that, but Terrence Williams is the guy that can take the top off the defense. So, yeah.
From just a pure ownership perspective, when you look at how many people are going to be on Cole Beasley, myself included, mm-hmm. and understandably so, I think he's probably going to go about 20%, 18% ownership, which that's relatively high when you're looking at a min-priced or close to min-priced receiver, 3,900. Terrence Williams is going to be about 3% owned, and that's probably on the high end. I can see reasons to take Terrence Williams is all I'm saying. I don't know 100%.
I know
if that's
this
a play, but
I know this doesn't have any bearing whatsoever on this specific game, but something that's very interesting to note is that between the Cowboys and 49ers, number two receivers for Dallas have torn up San Francisco year after year after year. If you go back and look, you know, Alvin Harper.
Mm-hmm. Alvin Harper.
Yeah. If you go back and look, they've struggled with number two receivers against Dallas. And like I said, that has no bearing on what's going to happen this year. It's just an interesting factoid. And Terrence Williams had a couple of multi-touchdown games in his career.
Yes,
so
he
it
has.
Could happen. It
yes,
could happen. And if you pay 3,900 for it and get that, then
31.
Yeah,
39 for Beasley.
Oh okay. Yeah.
Is Beasley the number one if Dez sits?
He's the number one option. He's not the number one
receiver.
But yeah, he's the number one option, absolutely.
Carlos Hyde, starting running back, 4,200. You could do a lot worse.
Yeah, they're gonna give him the ball a lot because Blaine Gabbert is an awful quarterback. They're gonna give him the ball a lot. Dallas seems to be a feast or famine run defense. Everybody gets their fits and they just stuff you in the backfield, or everybody gets hooked and you bust off a 40-yard run. You don't hardly see any like the 5-6 yarders against Dallas. It's all or nothing. So.
Yeah. I like Carlos Hyde a little bit. Moving on to the Rams at the Cardinals. Cardinals looking a bit back on track. They're an 8-point favorite at home with a 42.5 total. Vegas thinks that Arizona rolls here. I'm not inclined to disagree, especially the way Arizona came out last week. They were flat against Buffalo. I think they need to get back on the right track.
Hold on one second. Hold on one second. Just got a tweet in. Dez Bryant just tweeted out he is day-to-day, and he got great feedback from Dr. Andrews.
Well, there you go.
So I would think that would lead even more to the idea that he's going to play. Go on with you.
Probably going to play. Arizona looking to get back on the right track at home against the Rams, and the Rams are 2-1. Don't look now. I don't think that's going to continue, but that's kind of a thing right now.
There's no way. If that continues, the league is scripted. To give LA, like, if that's how I feel about that.
And the Rams 6-2. No. Who do you like in Arizona?
In Arizona, as in our Arizona's offense?
Yeah.
I mean,
David Johnson?
I want to see them fix what's wrong with their offense and then see how it shakes out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be a little bit leery of any Arizona offensive player, not because I don't think any of them can get it done on any week, any one of them could, but right now what they're doing on offense is so kind of hit or miss that I wouldn't want to hook my line, hook into one player. I'd be a little bit leery of that on Arizona's offense.
I agree with that as well. David Johnson has had a pretty solid start to the year at $7,800. That's how much you're going to be paying for him over on DraftKings. If I had to take a guess, I think Larry Fitzgerald's probably the guy at $7,200. That's just a guess, and Carson Palmer's underpriced at 63, so I don't have any problem paying on Carson Palmer. I don't think too many people are going to be on him this week. Two more games as far as the Millionaire Maker goes. It's New Orleans at 0-3. The Saints look real bad on defense. They can't stop anybody, which is probably why this game has the highest total on the board this week at 53.5. San Diego is a -3.5 favorite. For me, after watching what happened to the Saints on Monday night, it's all the Melvin Gordon. 6,300.
Well, yeah.
They don't have anybody else in the backfield, and I just think Melvin's going to eat.
I mean, absolutely. I could see a situation where Melvin Gordon goes off. If you look at, what happened Monday night. You also have to keep in mind that NFL teams have a way of fixing these problems in a week.
In a short span.
They go back and they get their quality control coaches to go look at the film, and they say, okay, this is what's going on, and the coaches get out there and they fix it. So Melvin Gordon could, again, like a lot of players today, I'm on this feast or famine thing, but I think it could be big, or you could kind of get goose-egged out of it.
New Orleans. I'm trying
to think of who I would really like in this game. I mean, Tyrell Williams.
Even
gamble. You could get something out of him potentially. You could get a couple of long touchdowns out of Travis Benjamin. For New Orleans,
it's such a high total at 53.5. Fleener. It looks like Breeze and Fleener are finally on the same page.
Yeah,
that's what it looked like to me.
Right,
especially with Snead. If he misses again, you can take a shot on Michael Thomas at 3,800. Brandon Cooks is too expensive for me at 74. And Mark Ingram's just not. No,
man. Can I tell you how much I loved Mark Ingram coming out of college?
No, everybody did. I hated
all. Over.
Hate Alabama. Love Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram. In college, he was the most Emmitt Smith-looking player I'd ever seen. He just looked like him in the way he ran, and he got to the NFL, and I don't know why. I've never understood why. He just had never been able to get it going, but I was a big fan of his.
Definitely a game that you want to target, though, in your daily tournaments and matchups, because, like I said, 53.5 total, and Vegas is very rarely wrong on those. It's the highest total on the board. Sunday Night Football, Kansas City at Pittsburgh. Both teams 2-1. Pittsburgh's a 5-point favorite, getting Le'Veon Bell back. The total's 47.5. How much does Le'Veon Bell play?
The whole game?
I mean, as far as his work rate, his usage, what are we looking at as far as Le'Veon Bell? D'Angelo Williams sits now, or is he going to be slowly phased out?
They've already said it's Le'Veon Bell. He's a starter. That's all there is to that. I would think that would depend entirely on how effective he is. If he gets in and he looks like Le'Veon Bell, then he's going to get all the usage. And if he doesn't, then they may, slip a little D'Angelo Williams in there. That's meh. I think it depends entirely on Le'Veon Bell and how he looks.
Even at 7,500, I'm probably not going to be on him. It's going to be a wait and see thing for me. Not only that, I think that Le'Veon Bell is going to draw more attention to the backfield. I love. He's a Sunday night hammer. He's my beast of the week as far as wide receivers. Antonio Brown, 9,700. I know I'm not going out on too much of a limb here, but he had 18 targets last game. Mm-hmm. And if you give a guy like that 18 targets, there's very few. Very few people who can score or who could explode for 40, 45, 50 points in a PPR format. Antonio Brown's one of them.
No, he is one of them, but I'd be a little bit leery of that. 18 targets last week. They were getting destroyed by Philadelphia.
That's true.
They were getting destroyed, and so they were throwing the ball all over the place. I'd be a little bit leery of that. Why was Antonio Brown not able to get in the end zone on 18 targets, 17 targets? That's insane.
It's a big price.
Here's what I would say on that. There's almost no situation in which I say don't take Antonio Brown because he is an incredible player and he could go off in any week. I would say simply in this situation, don't do it because he was highly targeted.
No, absolutely not. But he had 11 and 11 the weeks before.
Right.
He's obviously the guy in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And with Eli Rogers questionable, I think Pittsburgh needs to get back on the right track. I don't know if Le'Veon Bell can handle the workload that he's going to have coming in with no game experience this year. It's been a while since we've seen him.
Yep.
Kind of a wait-and-see approach for me on Le'Veon Bell. I do think Pittsburgh gets back on the right track, though, with a 5-point total. And that brings us to our year-long fantasy segment, the waiver wire. Who are you looking to pick up this week if you're not already taken?
I'm not going to lie to you. There's nothing. Like, there was no player last week who really broke out other than Jordan Howard. He didn't break out.
Yeah.
If you watched the Cowboys game, you saw a couple of runs and a couple of catches that you're like, okay, yeah.
He showed his potential.
Yeah. But there really wasn't. I mean, you might find Tevin Coleman on maybe not this late in the week. If we'd done this type of show on Monday,
yeah.
Maybe.
Again, it depends on your leagues and the quality that you're playing.
Yes.
I don't think Tevin Coleman's available. I don't think Terrell Pryor's available. Let me just tell you this. In the mid to high range, we'll call it the mid-level cash year-long that me and my buddy Brian are doing that I've talked about. It's kind of the one that I'm focusing on. It has a $500 free agency auction, basically. A blind bid every week.
Right.
Start with 500, and then that's all you get for the year.
Right.
We had 500 going into this week, and we wanted Terrell Pryor. We wanted him pretty bad, and people have used some spots, some money. We haven't. Threw a $75 blind bid in for Terrell Pryor. I thought we were going to fully receive Terrell Pryor, no problem. 201 is what landed Terrell Pryor.
Wow.
I do not think you're going to find him on the waiver wire.
No, not very likely. You might get somebody who got tired of waiting on Terrence Williams to do something, and you might be able to pick him up and gamble on him. But even
I think that's a gamble.
It's a gamble.
If I had to say one guy that I'm looking at on the waiver wire, I've been talking about him probably for a couple of weeks now. It's Adam Humphries. It's Adam Humphries for Tampa Bay.
What's funny is I was trying to pick him up, and I went to both of our fantasy leagues, and he was not available in either one of them. And that's what I did to prepare for this segment, was just kind of go look at what's available in the leagues, and it was just trash.
Yeah.
It was just nothing but trash.
Running backs are a graveyard.
Yes.
Wide receivers, you could actually maybe be able to pick somebody up.
Yeah, I mean, there are wide receivers there, but all of them, kind of like Terrence Williams, are just, you're going to pick them up and hope.
They're volatile.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd be a little bit leery.
I think if you're looking for any kind of help this week, as far as running backs go, Jordan Howard's probably not going to be there. Cameron Artis Payne, that might be the best that you can do. And
yeah,
it's not good.
Yeah,
it's not preferable.
God, it's not preferable. I do have a question sent in by a listener.
Yeah.
Listener received a trade offer of Marvin Jones Jr. He has Marvin Jones Jr. The guy wants to flip him Todd Gurley for Marvin Jones
Absolutely
Jr.
Absolutely not. Under no circumstance should you flip Marvin Jones Jr. for Todd Gurley.
That's pretty much what I said.
If it's PPR, just send him back. You should probably get...
Just tell him he's number one.
You should probably get diabolical on your response. I mean,
yeah.
in pure rival fantasy football. Because that's trying to take advantage of stupidity.
Yes.
And that's not what we do here.
Yeah.
We're helping you out. Do not give up Marvin Jones Jr. for Todd Gurley. Do not give Marvin Jones Jr. up for anybody at PPR.
I can't think of anybody. I mean, I guess there'd be somebody, but... I assume that would be your response, but
I told him
I would ask you on the show.
Oh, so I guess that who are you looking to trade for, or is there? I guess it kind of depends.
It really depends. So here's one of the strategies that I've used before, is the buy low, sell high thing.
Stephon Diggs didn't have a very good game.
No.
So you might get somebody that's stupid enough to go, oh, yeah.
Hey.
You know.
Yeah.
So what? I'm not going to point out any specific player this week, but what I would tell you is think about somebody who's had production this season, but last week it slipped off and they weren't as good, or maybe they put up a big goose egg. They were really bad.
Year-long fantasy is a big what have you done for me lately.
Yes, it is. And you can take advantage of people's emotional responses. It's a lot like the stock market that we were talking about, that if you can read people's emotions, you can take advantage of it. So that's my advice this week.
All right, on to some daily fantasy. DraftKings has the Millionaire Maker. Highly recommend you get in on it. $20 could yield you a million, and they're not even a sponsor yet either. Quarterbacks, like I said, I like Cam Newton a lot. He's my top target at 7,800. Breeze, you can buy or sell on him, 76. Stafford, if you want to be contrarian, at 7,300. Kirk Cousins, Vegas says he's going to have a good game. They're a 7.5-point favorite against Cleveland. You could lock in Kirk
Cousins,
and nobody's going
to have a good quarterback to have a good game.
You would think that, but Kirk Cousins seems to be able to throw 350 and not have a good game. I don't know how that works, but you could stack Kirk Cousins, Jamison Crowder.
It's not the 17 to 20 good passes he throws a game. It's six or seven bad ones.
And they are, I mean, sometimes he's throwing to the freaking the ball boy.
I watched that Cowboys-Redskins game tape several times, and, I mean, he... In the first quarter, he had Jamison Crowder for a 40-yard touchdown, and he just overthrew him.
Yeah.
He had him, like, there was nobody within 5 yards of him. He had him, and he just overthrew him, and you see that, and you're like, this is a guy who's not right now. Maybe he comes back, because he was a good quarterback last year.
He was.
So maybe he figures it out, but right now, it's not working for him.
Probably don't want to take Cousins at 6,500. Carson Palmer at 6,300, I have no problem
with. Yeah, that seems like it'd be pretty good little...
No problem with. Dax Prescott, 57. They're playing San Francisco.
I have a suspicion that, like we said about New Orleans and their defense, shoring up the run defense, I have a suspicion San Francisco is going to shore up their run defense. Dak Prescott finally threw his first touchdown pass last week. When it rains, it pours. He goes off. That's my guess on the game.
I have that feeling
That's
as
my
well.
Guess.
I have that feeling as well, and it's a feeling that I'm probably going to stack him with Terrence Williams in one Millionaire Maker just to do it. Let's see what happens. Let me get Beasley.
You
let me
could
get
do
Williams.
Worse, man. You could do worse.
And he's had those games where he goes for
and
two touchdowns.
And let me tell you, the Antoine Bethea is San Francisco's free safety right now. Mm-hmm. He's not playing very well.
Mm-mm.
He's not. So I'm telling you, I could see Dak Prescott going off this week.
There's two guys in the lower 5,000s that I like as well, and that's Jameis Winston, 5,400, and Trevor Siemian at 54 as well. I think more people are going to be on Siemian than Winston probably this week, and probably for a good reason. He hooked up with Emmanuel Sanders a lot of times.
He did. I would be a little bit leery of that early. This is still a little early to be putting a lot on him. But Winston's going against Denver's defense, so I don't know. That's toss-up.
It is. Trayvon Boykin at 5,000, if and only if, obviously, Russell Wilson doesn't play.
Get out of here with that nonsense.
I'm just saying.
Just get out.
David Johnson, 7,800 over running backs.
No.
He leads it off.
What's he done this season?
What's he not done this season? It doesn't seem like he's done a lot. Let me just run by. I mean, last week, 19 carries, 83 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground, 3 receptions on 6 targets for 28. His DraftKings points, 26.1, 17.3, 23.2.
Okay, so he hadn't had a crazy game, but he's been real consistent.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I can get on board with that.
And then I'm going to drop a little lower. I don't mind Ezekiel Elliott at 6,900. DeMarco Murray, 6,800. He's catching passes. He's running the ball in. 114 last week. It's his first game over 100 yards on the ground.
Who are they playing?
They're playing Houston.
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
No.
Houston's defense has been playing pretty well this season.
29.5, 21.5, 23.7.
No, DeMarco. Murray's been playing really well, but he hadn't played a defense like Houston's yet. Okay. Don't get me wrong, it could work. And Murray had a
He took Minnesota for 23-7 in week one.
Did he?
Okay. But, again, Oakland and Detroit.
Murray had a way when he was with Dallas of running on defenses that were really, really good.
Yep.
He did. So, okay, that's fine.
No LeSean McCoy, no Todd Gurley. I know he scored 2 touchdowns last week. No, sir. Melvin Gordon, 6,300. A lot of people going to be on him for a good reason. It's one of the top totals on the day. I just think he gets the ball probably 20 times. Maybe gets in the end zone once. Hopefully twice if you're on him. You cross your fingers. But in that price range, I think Melvin Gordon's the way to go at 6,300. Kristen Michael, is he too expensive at 6,000?
Get out.
He had 20 carries for
100. Get out.
20 carries for 106 yards, 2 touchdowns against San Francisco last week.
I harbor so much hate for C-Mike.
He's the guy.
He is the guy up there. I'm not a big fan.
You know, they blocked it up real good last week, and he tore San Francisco up, and that's, you know, good for him. But I don't see any way you can sustain that with his talent level. That's just the way I look at it.
I really think the way to go here this week is spend down. Spend down on LeGarrette Blount, $5,000. Spend down on Carlos Hyde, $4,200. You're going to have more money to spend in the wide receiver column. If you're looking to differentiate yourself, Tevin Coleman, $4,500. Look no further than him. And let's see, Duke Johnson. Cleveland's going to have to put up points. And
yeah.
Isaiah Crowell, you know. The thing with Duke Johnson, the reason I like Duke is he gets work out of the backfield.
Yep, he does.
5 catches on 7 targets last week. He only had 12 yards on him, but he cost $4,000. I think you could do worse. And Jordan Howard sitting there at $3,700 as well. Wide receivers, Antonio Brown, $9,600.
You're on him.
I'm on him.
You're on him.
Sunday night special. You get the opportunity to have that guy that goes last, so you're getting points when nobody else does. I'm all over Antonio Brown this week, 9,600. No thanks on Amari Cooper, Brandon Cooks, Julio Jones. No. Larry Fitzgerald, I don't think too many people are going to be on him at 7,200.
If I had to choose an Arizona offensive player, it would be Larry Fitzgerald. So yeah. There you go.
What about Kelvin Benjamin at 71? He only had one target, didn't catch that last week. Very surprising.
Well, I mean, you're all over Cam Newton, so Kelvin Benjamin is the best receiver there, so why wouldn't you be all over Kelvin Benjamin?
Because I'm all over Greg Olsen instead.
Oh, okay.
Mike Evans, 6,500. I like. He's got a tough matchup. Yes.
I do like Mike Evans because he's a kind of a different breed of receiver. He's a little different than other kinds. So even when he's got a tough matchup, he can still dominate. Mostly it's his ability to catch the ball away from his frame. His catch radius is huge.
I think you're probably chasing points with this one, but Emmanuel Sanders at 6,400.
Might be chasing points. That would be my scare with him and Trevor Siemian both would be your chasing points. A little bit, yes.
Doug Baldwin at 61 for Seattle if
sure.
Russell Wilson's
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Baldwin's very good receiver.
64 last week against San Francisco.
Yep.
So this is more Dallas, yes. Dallas. I think Dallas is a big play this week.
It's funny. I'm nervous that they're going to lose.
Well, the line says it's going to be a little iffy.
Way closer than you would think, right? Yep. And when Vegas does that, I'm like, oh, God.
Will Fuller at 5,300. Terrell Pryor down low at 4,300. And Jamison Crowder at 42. Of course,
any of those would be fine.
Cole Beasley, 3,900. So really, it's a question of who you're going to pay up for because there's so much value down low. And then Adam Humphries at 3,000. As well. All right, in the tight end category, I've been talking about him all show. Greg Olsen, 6,000. He leads the way as far as tight ends go. I think he scores 2 touchdowns this week as well. If you're looking to be contrarian, Travis Kelce at 4,800. Kansas City looks like they're getting him more involved in the offense.
Yeah, he started getting a little more involved last week. Travis Kelce is almost always a good option. He's a good tight end.
I'm going to dip down. I'm going to skip over Witten and Jimmy Graham. Dennis Pitta at 3,900. You could do a lot worse.
Yeah.
He hasn't really got into the end zone just yet. I don't believe he's got in. He hasn't got into the end zone yet, but they're throwing him the football, and eventually Flacco is going to find him in the in that score territory, and his points are going to add 6 to him. Eric Ebron, he's questionable, but he's 3,700. Detroit's getting him more active.
Yeah, he's getting open a little bit, and they are throwing him the ball just a little bit, so that's not a bad option.
I don't mind Jacob Tammy, but he had a rough game against New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe Fleener, 3,200. I loved him coming into the season.
That's a nice price for Fleener now.
He bricked, and now 11 targets against Atlanta. They're taking on San Diego in the highest total of the week. So, mm-hmm. I mean, 7 catches on 11 targets for 109 and a touchdown. Kobe Fleener, 3,200. I think that's a really good price. If you're looking to punt, Cameron Brate, 2,800. Had 10 targets last week. Over in the
good luck with that.
that's why it's called a punt. Bro.
Yeah, I know.
Over in the defensive end, I've just got a handful of teams written down. Arizona at 3,900. They're taking on. Let's see. They're taking on the Rams at home. So,
okay, have fun with that.
You don't like Carolina? You don't like the Arizona?
They're well. Okay. Yeah. Man, I don't know. The Rams just they got this sneaky thing going on this year. I don't know.
Yeah, they do.
No, that's not a bad option because, you know, in general, their offense is bad. Rams' offense is bad, so sure.
So you don't like Tampa. Do you like the Denver defense at 3,700?
No.
Mm-mm. I'm kind of on board there as well. I think Jameis Winston is going to be throwing the football a lot. Thinking about New England, not going to lie. 3,300 against Buffalo. also
be a little bit worried about if whatever game plan Belichick comes up with doesn't work and they end up punting the ball a whole lot and Tyrod Taylor and that offense has the ball the whole game. Might look bad for you.
Let's go ahead and flip that around. Also thinking about Buffalo at 2,600.
You're gambling.
I am.
But it's not a bad gamble to say, hey, I don't think Jacoby Brissett's going to do this twice in a row.
Not only that, but I think the sacks could be there as well for Buffalo, mm-hmm. especially if Brissett doesn't play. And if he starts throwing picks, they had four against Palmer last week.
Yep.
They could easily turn one of those into a defensive touchdown.
I would actually like that. I think that's a pretty smart gamble to go Buffalo.
It's a gamble I don't think a lot of people are going to be on.
Yeah.
In other words, if you're looking at bottom feed in Baltimore, you could do a lot worse. 2,400. They still haven't scored that defensive touchdown, but I think they have, what, two kick blocks now? They had four sacks last week, three the week before that, three picks against the Jags, two the week before that. They're taking on Derek Carr, who he will throw interceptions. So if you need to save over on your defense, I think Baltimore isn't too bad at 2,400. All right. Well, no, we got fantasy stacks as well. We got stacks, contrarian corner, and then the beast of the week. If I'm stacking, look, it's Carolina. It's Carolina. You go Cam Newton, you go Greg Olsen. If you want to throw in Kelvin Benjamin, I'm all right with that as well. God, I like Tampa. I don't know why I like Tampa. Probably because I'm a glutton for punishment. But Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, Adam Humphrey.
That can be your stack and your contrarian corner.
Yeah,
Tampa against
maybe even Jameis Winston, Adam Humphreys, and Cameron Brate. And you're spending as much as you would on a Chick-fil-A combo meal. I mean,
you might
you might pay for it later.
Well, I was going to say what it might taste like, but
it's not going to taste like Chick-fil-A. Arizona, they're big favorites at home against L.A. If Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, David Johnson,
yeah.
And then San Diego, but I've had a lot of trouble figuring out who to stack in this game. I don't necessarily want Phillip Rivers. I do want Melvin Gordon, but then I guess you flip a coin and take either Travis Benjamin or Tyrell Williams. Probably Tyrell Williams because less people are going to be on him.
Yeah, I would just suggest not doing that.
It's the biggest total of the week. All right, if you're looking to be contrarian, LeSean McCoy at running back, Jameis Winston, like I said, Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, Adam Humphreys, Carlos Hyde, very few people are going to be on.
Yeah.
Trevor Siemian, I think you're probably going to see a little bit of ownership there. Steve Smith Sr., he's proven last year that he can have big days. And
yeah.
Melvin Gordon, but I think probably you're going to see some ownership there. All right, beast of the week, if you're looking at the top, my top guys at every position, it's Cam Newton, it's LeGarrette Blount, it's A. Brown, it's Greg Olsen.
Okay.
That's
it.
Yeah. If you're looking for value, Carlos Hyde, Kristen Michael, Jordan Howard, Tevin Coleman, Pryor, Crowder, Beasley, Humphreys, these low-level guys that have a potential for a high output.
Golden Tate.
Golden Tate! Yes! I have more catches than Golden Tate did last week. Top plays. This has been an abysmal part of my week, and I gave it some time this week, Bryce. I do not want to hear it. You can leave the studio. You're going to like this. Actually, no, you're not. Because I've been such shit, you're really not going to like this.
Okay.
My top play of the week is Dallas at 2.5.
Of course it is.
My top play of the week is Dallas at 2.5.
They're going to 2-2. Dak Prescott's going to break his hip and never play again.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for the curse, man.
You're very welcome. Dallas is my top play at 2.5. I like Denver at 3, minus 3, and then Seattle at 2.5. So I'm taking three road favorites in this, and that's my parlay as well. So Dallas, Denver, Seattle, just about 3 on each. Dallas 2.5, Denver 3, Seattle 2.5. And my dog of the week, give me some, no sound effects.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dog of the week. It might sound like mine after this is all said and done. But you're not going to convince me that Kirk Cousins can beat anybody by 8. I'm taking Cleveland plus 7.5.
Okay. I think that's fair right now.
All right. Just about to wrap up the show. It's the 2-point conversion with Bryce and
Daniels. He's going to win by 30.
Oh, you can just.
I can smell it.
He is extremely upset that I took Dallas as my play.
I am.
Out of bounds. I mean, does it get more out of bounds than what we watched on Monday night, or I watched it on Tuesday, that debate, if you can call it that.
I saw one of my favorite comments was, it's debatable whether this debate is actually a debate
yeah.
at all.
Yeah. Sam. But that was awful.
Yeah,
it really is idiocracy, and you're seeing a lot of those memes pop up.
Yep.
I'm not looking forward to this just dealing with people. How the hell you can be for one of these candidates adamantly is just...
Right. I can see people making the argument if you're left-leaning, saying, you know, I'm just going to vote for Hillary because that's my party.
Yeah.
Or vice versa with Trump. I can see somebody making that argument, but I actually don't know anybody who's vehemently for either side. Like, they're just... And what's crazy is the enthusiasm for this election is through the roof.
It's madness.
Through the roof.
Madness.
And yet nobody really likes either candidate. It doesn't make any sense, man. I don't know what's going on. I'm moving to Nicaragua.
Yeah, Nicaragua? I'm thinking Canada just out of convenience.
I just named out a random
Nicaragua
country.
Why not?
It's probably worse there. I don't know. I just threw out a random country.
So we will be back on, we'll be back on Tuesday to recap all the ways that I was wrong on this week's
slate. That's what our Tuesday show's turned into.
Look, so I'm shooting for 200. I'm going to get 200. I was at 180 last week. I should have had 200. It happens this week. Antonio Brown goes for 2 touchdowns at 130 yards. That's all there is to
it. Throwing it out there, okay.
It's the 2-Point Conversion with Bryson Daniels, brought to you as always, footballtheg.com. Check us out on our Facebook page as well. Search 2-Point Conversion with the number 2. And be sure to download the show on iTunes. Footballtheg.com is the study of all things football. Any shout-outs? Anything else you want to add?
No, man.
He's just upset that I picked Dallas as the play of the week.
Yeah, you got me all thrown off. I was working on like a new way to sign out of the show.
Yeah.
But I was gonna use that on Tuesday or Monday night. So
I guess we'll have to wait for Monday night.
Yeah.
For that,
you guys should be just really on the edge of your seat about this new sign off.
Eager,
it's a big deal, man.
Eager in anticipation. Until then, this has been episode 5 of the 2-Point Conversion with Bryson Daniels. Have a fantastic evening. Hope all your games are profitable, of course, unless you're playing me. It's a 2-Point Conversion where we always go for 2. Have a great night. Thanks for listening.